Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Consider Home and Garden Television king of the hill in its genre, and Sister Switch Network's own service DIY, Duke of Same. Renovation Realities, which launched over the weekend, is the latest example of DIY's celebrity content. John Bell is the key executive behind Web Under Construction at both HGTV and DIY, and he joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Also ahead, Sinclair grows to Tribune Media, more 13 Reasons Why, is Amazon drawing the Choose TV route, and our classic community question this week, honoring Frontline. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted you're with us on this May 8th of 2017 for the program All About Television. 55 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we're delighted to have you with us. Great guests aboard, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just raise your voice, pick up the phone, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're shy about using the phone, that is no problem with us. Why? Because we have another way you can get on. It's the chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and it's just waiting for you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be then live with you. John Fell is live with us from Knoxville after these news notes. The biggest owner of television stations nationwide is about to go mammoth. Sinclair, with more than 170 stations already in its fold, agreed to buy Tribune Media this morning for $3.9 billion. Tribune operates 42 stations, led by WPIX here in New York, that's Channel 11, KTLA in Los Angeles, and former superstation WGN Chicago. Tribune also runs cable satellite channel WGN America, multicast rerun service Antenna TV, and Ovequity in Food Network, which is mostly run by Scripps. If this deal is approved by regulatory authorities, Sinclair would have more than 200 stations nationally under its wing. The company also has become a programming force over the last few years, obtaining the Tennis Channel, launching three multicast networks, Comet TV, Charge, and TED, the first two in conjunction with MGM, and syndication Ring of Honor Wrestling. Sinclair Chief Executive Chris Ripley calls the Tribune deal, and I quote, a transformational acquisition that will open up a myriad of opportunities, unquote. Ripley anticipates finalizing the transaction this fall. Some quickies, 13 Reasons Why, Netflix's controversial series with teenage suicide as central theme, will be back for season 2 next year. FX will debut Snowfall July 5th. Its producer, writer, director John Singleton's second series debut this year. Rebel launched on BET March 28th. Activity at Amazon, quite a bit of it. Transparent creator Jill Soloway will extend her association there through June 2021. I Love Dick, her latest series, launches this Friday. Separately, Bryan Cranston has landed a 6-episode run of The Dangerous Book for Boys, a comedy he initially co-created for NBC. One other Amazon note, according to Recode, the company's Twitch unit wants to join the growing crowd of ventures out to make choose-your-adventure-style television. Chief Operating Officer Kevin Lin says these series would be guided by input from Twitch commenters. The series would play out on a week-to-week basis, where storylines viewers balk at would get altered later on. Lin and his colleagues are investigating who can be a choose content maker. When would something reach viewers? Well, a year or two from now, if ever, Lin told Netflix. Netflix, HBO, and Eco, the latter partially backed by Sony and MGM, also are exploring choose-your-own-adventure options. And that's news notes for today. Now live with us from Scripps Networks Interactive Headquarters in Knoxville, Tennessee, the Senior Vice President of Virtual Planning for Home and Garden Television, DIY, and GAC Great American Country, John Feld. John, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Simon. It's good to be here.
Tell us about your latest DIY series, Renovation Realities. What set this off?
Well, Renovation Realities was a show that we tried for a couple of years with real couples, showing what it really takes to you know, take the project under your own wing and basically do the renovation with your spouse. And it was very successful for a couple of years. And I think, you know, one of our more cynical viewers might have written in and said, well, the only thing I really learned from Renovation Realities was never to renovate with my wife, and I already knew that. So I love that quote, and I kind of kept that on my wall. But we focused on a flipping couple in one of the shows and realized that the flipping is sort of the hot thing right now, you know, trying to invest and do some work in real estate. So we created a show called First Time Flippers, which sort of took Renovation Reality's place. But we were looking for a place on the network where we could focus on celebrities. And celebrities have had a tough time with us in our networks because our viewers are very possessive of the work that's done, and the house and the renovation is always the star of our shows and not the celebrities. So they were welcomed with a little bit of scrutiny at first, but then when we were able to combine Renovation Realities with a more of a celebrity focus, then the viewers sat at home and watched the show and said, wow, they're just like us. They're going through the same issues and the same problems and making the same mistakes that we made. So it was kind of a fun way for us to get the credibility level up of these celebrities that love our networks and want to be on the air with us.
I want to welcome you to our chat room, guest 1310, 1311, 1312, and our very good friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia in the room. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. So why is these two celebrities, and we're talking about Ginger Z, the meteorologist on Good Morning America, and her husband Ben Aaron, who is about to, this fall, become a daytime talk show host with Kelly Picker on a show that will be running on the Scripps television station. We should point out that Scripps, the TV station owner, is separate from Scripps Network Interactive. Why this couple?
Ginger Z approached a production company that we work with and is a big fan of the network and mentioned that she and her husband were trying to get out of the city now that they're starting a family, and would we be interested in seeing their journey? So we have a great relationship with GMA. You know, Lara Spencer from Good Morning America is the host of our most popular Great American Country show, Flea Market Flip. So we've always had a really good relationship with everyone on the network. So we said, sure, we'd love to hear more about it. And then I got a chance to meet her husband, Ben, who was unbelievably entertaining. And you talk about a novice. It doesn't get any more novice than Ben. And they took it to heart, and they did most of the work themselves. And I think we got a really great series out of it.
What are people saying about it? It premiered on Saturday night, and it's been 48 hours later or so. What is your audience saying about what they're doing?
Well, just a lot of fun. And that it's and you know, we try to break the expectation that anything that's has a celebrity in it is going to be $1 million sort of program, which just isn't the case. And they bought a beautiful but very modest and very much of a fixer-upper and upstate a little bit, and they did a great job on renovating it room by room, which is how we reveal in each episode. And the response so far has been great. As far as the ratings are concerned, I can let you know at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning when they come in. So from the weekend,
You mentioned that earlier that this is a series that's been done before on DIY. If it continues, would Ben and Ginger stay on, or would you make a sort of semi-anthology type situation where every year you have every 6 months you have a different celebrity couple take on the challenge?
That's what we'd like to try. You know, I've always been looking for kind of a bucket to put the celebrity talent into, and we get a lot of offers from time to time, and we never if we put them out there on their own. Sometimes people will tune in. Sometimes people have no interest at all. If we put them under a title that has a lot of equity already with our network, people know what Renovation Realities is. They're going to get a very cinema verite look at very unedited. If they make mistakes, we want to see them. And people know what Renovation Realities is. Our DIY viewers are fans of the show. So I'm hoping that it will become a place for our celebrity talent to do renovations. And yes, it'd be great to get three or four of them on the air every year.
You're hearing an internet radio exclusive live interview with John Fell. He's the Senior Vice President of Original Filming at three of the networks owned by Scripps Network Interactive, one of the leaders and maybe the leader for a lot of folks in the world of lifestyle television. We're talking about Home and Garden TV, DIY, and GAC, Great American Country. And Renovation Realities is one of the newest programs on DIY. You can catch it Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on that network. And John joins us live from the headquarters of Scripps Network Interactive, Knoxville, Tennessee. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Appleman will be with you live from New York. Happy you're starting your week off with us on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for John, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or welcome to our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Again, we welcome guests. 1311, 1311, 1312. We're from a friend from Philadelphia, also in the room. Coming up Friday on Swabby Televised, National Geographic, a week from today, has a question to pose. What would happen if this planet lasts 1 million years? It's the topic of Year Million. It is the second major Nat Geo series that's hybrid scripted and unscripted. And Friday on Swabby Televised, we got the executive producer, Mark Renner, with us, live and exclusive, our lead guest. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How do you, when you focus on, you know, not just DIY, but the other networks you deal with, how do you focus on celebrities? You know, what do you determine who makes a good celebrity host for the kind of programming you do?
Well, I always look for the same thing as when we get, you know, regular people pitched to us, which is just a passion for the work that they're going to do, you know. I think that there's a red flag that goes up. Some people think, some celebrities, and it's usually their handlers that kind of get us wrong, think you're about to have some work done, HGTV will pay for it, which is totally untrue. So we want people that, most of the celebrities that contact us, Simon, are fans of the network. So it's not an unusual thing for them to say, look, I've been watching you to get tips and hints and some takeaway information for years. I'm about to do a major renovation. Why don't we put two and two together? And so a lot of them, if not most of them, are already fans of the network. So I kind of look, though, that to make sure that their intentions are in the right place and they just have a passion for what our viewers want to see, which is, beautiful renovation of spaces to make your to make the least favorite rooms in your home the most favorite rooms in your home.
With DIY overall, how has the channel changed over the last couple of years in terms of what you present and how you present it?
I think DIY Network has really sort of embraced a lot of these ensemble casts that we found, whether it's Building Alaska, where we focus on three different stories each season of people building in some of the most remote places of Alaska, or Barnwood Builders. Mark Bow is a gentleman who has a team from West Virginia that find these old barns and salvage them and build beautiful homes out of them. Salvage Dogs is another show inside a salvage company that has a great ensemble cast. So the viewers at DIY have really enjoyed, kind of watching these groups and these companies that do this sort of thing. In addition, we've been able to introduce tiny home shows, which I always tease it. I don't know how much of our audience really wants to live in a tiny home, but they're fascinated about the people that make the decision to do that. I also think that the tiny home thing, which airs on both HGTV and DIY, but I really think that the urban viewers have really been turned on by the tiny home franchises we have on DIY because, there's not a ton of programming available for someone living in a, 200 to 400 square foot apartment in New York, and this is one of them. There's a lot of great takeaway information about living, with high function in a small space, and that's what they get out of this show. So I think there's a little bit for everybody now in DIY.
With any of your networks, is there a threshold that a situation has to cross, like tiny home or like the movement of people to live in a particular area of the nation or the world, whether it's Alaska or Japan or Florida. Is there a threshold that has to be crossed before you in your role say, let's make that a series, let's turn that into a project?
Yeah. You know, I think the other trend over the last 5 years at the networks has been to go away from hosted shows and to really go more towards the follow documentary sort of focus on real people that would be doing what they're doing, whether our cameras were there or not. And the audience has really responded to that in a very positive way. And so the threshold is really, passion in what they do, that the scale is there. You know what a lot of people don't realize, Simon, is that it's not too difficult if you're in our wheelhouse to have a production company find you, pitch us to the network, and us be interested enough to at least shoot a pilot. The problem is what happens if your show goes to series, because now instead of renovating that one house for the pilot you produced for us, or instead of flipping that one house for the pilot, we're now looking for 13 episodes as quickly as possible. So we also want to make sure that the scale is there and that we're not finding people that renovate one or two homes for their clients a year. You know, it really has to be businesses that do this, you know, nonstop in order to work for us, because we want to get as many episodes of a hit show as we possibly can. So we look for passion, a sound business, and the ability to create and produce a lot of these for us.
Speaking of Swift, what a segue. One of the most popular series on Home and Garden Television is now in the process of getting not just one spin-off, but a bunch of spin-offs. This is something Food Network has done very well with shows like Chopped, Cutthroat Kitchen, Restaurant Impossible, and so on. But this is a very ambitious thing you're doing. You are doing 5 or 6 other shows, all taking place in different cities. Give me the process by which you came to the conclusion that number of series on the same thing could work.
Well, I think viewers have embraced the show Flip or Flop even more so than the talent. You know, Flip or Flop is a great title. It really reflects exactly what that show is, which is we flip a ton of homes. We're trying to make a living. We're trying to raise our family with this business we've chosen. Some work and some don't. That's a great idea, and it's not particularly tied to one particular talent. Once again, much like Renovation Realities, we took a title with a lot of equity, and we said, instead of throwing these other shows out there with all these different titles, they're basically just Flip or Flop. You know, and we said that a lot in sort of pitch meetings, that basically what we're watching is another Flip or Flop. And we finally decided a couple years ago, why don't we take the best of the mix and just create a Flip or Flop franchise? And the goal internally here, Simon, is always to try to have as many premieres on a year as possible. And it gets harder and harder with one particular show. We feel that with, branching out with these additional Flip or Flop vehicles, that starting in 2018, we can start having a new Flip or Flop episode on every week for the year. So that's what's behind it business-wise.
Yeah. How fast are these shows going to be made and airing on HGTV?
Flip or Flop Las Vegas was our first spinoff, and it is on right now. Flip or Flop Atlanta will follow in July. And then at the end of the year, we have Flip or Flop Fort Worth. And in 2018, we'll launch both Flip or Flop Nashville and Flip or Flop Chicago. And then rinse and repeat. And we'll have more of the original Flip or Flop and the other ones coming as well.
Something else that Food Network is doing that has turned out quite well, and maybe surprisingly for many people, is the idea of shows aimed at kids or kids and parents watching together. Chopped now has Chopped Junior. They have the Chopped Teen Tournament every so often. You have a kids' barbecue championship. You have a kids' baking classic. You have worst kid cooks in America. You have the Rachel versus Guy celebrity, which has celebrity kids. How much thinking is there in terms of adapting that kind of television relationship to any of your channels?
Well, we ran a short series as a test recently called House Hunter's Family, where you got a real look at children coming along on all of the house hunts and having a say in what room they wanted if they moved into that house and things like that. But to be completely honest, other than that, that doesn't quite work for us as well as it does for food. I have three boys of my own, and a lot of times it's like, hey, let's fix something together. Let's cook something. Spending time in the kitchen is a great thing to do with your family. There's not a lot of, with 9 and 10 year olds here, pick up that hammer and let's do some demo. And a matter of fact, there happen to be some pretty strict laws against it as well. So, we haven't been able, we've been pitched that sort of thing many times, having kids involved in some of our shows, but we have to be very careful. We can't put children into any situation where there's homes being renovated or homes being flipped or anything like that. We're very cautious of that. And also, even as they get older, and we've actually met some of these younger people these teenagers that have been flipping their own homes and whatnot. And I think eventually we'll probably find the right one to try it. But like I said earlier, our viewers are very skeptical about that we're putting forth, the top people in their craft and the people that are doing this for a living. And we found it hard in the past to get any traction with what seems like a little bit of a stunt as opposed to someone that's really doing it for a living. So we're looking for more ways to get children involved. But like I said, there's even some, sort of government rules that keep us from putting kids into construction sites, obviously. So it's been a little slow on our end.
John Sales, the Senior Vice President of Virtual Filming at Home and Garden Television, DIY, and Great American Country, all owned by Scripps Networks Interactive. He joins us live this half hour from Knoxville, Tennessee, the home of Scripps Network Interactive, in an interview exclusive interview right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy to have you aboard on this Monday afternoon, 55 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, where we're originating this program from. We have a phone call coming in. We're going to get to that shortly. I want to remind you that you can catch our recent episodes anytime you like at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's blogtalkradio.com/televise. Also, check out my columns about the world of television at MediaVillage.com. We're doing a series of columns now on the digital content new fronts that have been happening in New York this past week and continue until the end of this week. So check out New Front News and Views. You'll find many of those columns at MediaVillage.com, wonderful media analysis and commentary site run by Jack Myers. That's MediaVillage.com. Let's take our call. Hello, it's Simon Applebaum here from Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, great to have you aboard, and John Feld is with you.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, John. Kind of a producing question. I'm wondering, since you started in soap operas, I'm wondering how much of that past helps you and, like, what elements you use in your shows now.
How did you know I started in soap operas?
I didn't really work in soap operas. I worked next to soap operas, so I kind of know like some of that history. And one of the companies I worked for, we used to work with Scripps.
Great.
So I worked with them for a few years and used to watch a lot of the tapes and a lot of, especially like the sales tapes.
Right. Sure.
See how shows are sold and all of that. So, just doing research for this show, I looked it up. But why I'm so interested is because I've watched women watching, especially the show Property Brothers, and they, like, hang on every word. And even if it's an episode they've seen multiple times, they'll, like, watch it again and again. And so knowing that you do have some of that background, I'm just wondering whether it's you inject certain cliffhangers or what's the secret sauce is what I'm looking for.
Well, I think what the soap opera experience taught me back when I was a very young man and worked in soaps is that good storytelling is good storytelling. So it can be, you know, written by soap opera writers in New York, as our shows were back then, or it can be follow documentaries and be real life. And you're still looking for a story to be told. That's interesting you talk about the cliffhangers, because we do find that, you know, one of the most important metrics that we deal with behind the scenes here is time spent viewing. You know, you want to have that audience that's spending a lot of time with you. And we find that the way we produce our shows, we have a large time spent viewing because you want to see the end. You know, it's almost like a murder mystery in a little ways. It's like, who done it? Well, on our shows, it's always, what does it look like? What does it look like? Did they succeed at what they wanted to do? And let's reveal this. So in certain ways, yes, there is a little bit of a daytime soap opera sort of feel. I don't want to get, you know, too stereotypical about who watches who, because HG and DIY actually have a very 50-50 co-viewing audience between men and women. But I also hope that soaps, which was predominantly, you know, female watch back when I did it, has taught me a little bit more about that sensibility and what our female viewers. And by the way, you know, HG has been the number one, you know, median income for women for the last 10 years. And I think there's an expectation they have when they watch these shows. And so I hope that we're able to deliver exactly what that is for them. So, but it comes back to good storytelling is good storytelling, no matter what genre of TV you're in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And when I watch for different reasons, I think, than a lot of other people watch. I'm more interested in what they're actually doing a lot of times. And that's just what fascinates me, that the other part of what keeps such a varied audience interested. So continued success, and I'll definitely be watching more.
Well, great. Appreciate it, Rick. Thanks.
Absolutely. And thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Thank you for the detective work. I did not know that. Thank you for doing that. Have a great day yourself. Rick Rick, our friend from Philadelphia and Bobby Charlotte. Before I ask the final question, I'm really fascinated here, John. Well, what soap opera did you work for?
I started with As the World Turns, right out of college, actually, and moved over to its sister show, Guiding Light, which were both Procter & Gamble soaps back in the day. So, not a better boot camp to television than starting for a television show that puts out, you know, 250, 260 original 1 hours a year. So you talk about being initiated into the TV world. That was the way to do it. So it was great memories and great people.
Yeah, I was a fan of As the World Turns growing up as a kid, and I did watch Guiding Light for a while. I love the title that Wayne Fitzgerald, the wonderful former Universal title maker, did for that show with the wonderful circles and the lighthouse going around.
Right.
It's
great
thing.
That's
and
great.
One of my favorite soap opera or daytime job remains The Edge of Night. Still one of the most unique shows ever in daytime, and one of the best written too. And
wasn't that great? That was a Procter and Gamble. That was a Procter & Gamble soap, too, and we had a lot of back and forth with the actors and the producers, obviously, so I got to meet a lot of the Edge of Night people, and they're still very proud of the work they did on that show. That was a great show.
It was, and it also won one of the first Daytime Drama Emmy Awards for a tremendous writer who did both nighttime and daytime series and did very well, Henry Slezar. Terrific mystery writer, terrific mystery novelist and storyteller, and he did some great work on that series, really took it to a whole other level. And you can see some Edge of Night episodes on YouTube, too. It's, they're really fascinating, both black and white and color. Don't really let you go. I've got to ask about Great American Country. How is that channel doing, and what's coming up there?
Great American Country is doing great. You know, we, pardon the pun, but we really have taken the time to create this sort of outdoor adventure, enjoyment of the outdoors. I like to call it sort of the real American brands. You know, the RV programming we do on there works really well. We have everything from, flipping RVs to buying RVs. We have other shows like Living Alaska, which everybody sort of, you know, fantasizes about what it would be like living Alaska. That's doing very well. And, of course, Flea Market Flip with Lara Spencer is just a great tour around, you know, these great flea markets, and we're able to, you know, it's almost the game show format of let's buy something at the beginning of the show. You're responsible for upcycling it and selling it by the end of the show. It's just a great, you know, half hour format. So There's a lot of great stuff on Great American Country, and it has a little bit of a synergy with some of our other networks. And if things work in other places, we can also try it on Great American Country. So so far, ratings are way up, and we're really encouraged by it.
Yes, Home and Garden Television, DIY, Great American Country on cable and satellite all over the country. Check your locals where any or all three of those networks are available in your area. And Renovation Realities continues with the second episode Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on DIY. And if you want more details about the program online, here's where you go. DIYnetwork.com/Ben and Ginger. DIYnetwork.com/Ben and Ginger. John Fell, T-Rex says, Ritual Programming at DIY, Home and Garden Television, Great American Country with Scripps Networks Interactive. Thank you for joining. It's been a wonderful pleasure having you aboard. We'd love to have you back anytime. I really appreciate you making the time for us today.
Thanks, Simon. I really enjoyed it.
And enjoyed the soap opera previous life and how you brought that into play in your current job, too.
I'm going to head to YouTube and watch some Edge of Night episodes when we hang up.
All right. Same here. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay. You too. Thanks, Simon. Bye.
John Bell from Home and Garden Television, DIY, Great American Country, joining us live from Scripps Network Interactive Headquarters in Knoxville, Tennessee, here on Tomorrow Televised. We come back, Clappy's Trivia Question of the Week, but first, we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month. And growing. It's your home for auto line after hours. It's a different kind of auto show, and you can catch it Fridays, various times, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best to be charged available 24/7 at YouTube.com, and also available, our show and others, on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, order it from an Apple store near you or online. Welcome back to Marvin Televised on this Monday, the 8th of May, 2017. It's Simon Apple family with you live from New York. Live, you're aboard. We'll have our Clap Trivia Question of the Week honoring the 35th anniversary upcoming of Frontline. But first, some fine words for the folks at Audible.com. Did you see Hidden Figures? Oscar-nominated movie. Great, great film. Everyone's still talking about it. Made a lot of money. And a wonderful story all its own. Well, you can catch the audio version of that terrific film from Audible.com, narrated by Robin Miles. All you have to do is go to this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, and find out for yourself why audible.com is the leading spoken audio entertainment information and inspiration that people are catching more and more. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio. So if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you can get one free audiobook like Hidden Figures, a moment trial of the service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. One more time, audibletrial.com/televised. And find out for yourself why audible.com is the way to transform the way you hear the world. And now it's time for our Clapping Trivia Question of the Week. Nobody got our question last week, so let's give you the answer first. Then we have a new question for you with National Geographic Channel Into the World DVD as our prize this week. Last week we had this question. Name the first host or the first guest of Face the Nation on CBS. Now, the question, by the way, was very difficult with the host because the host didn't last long, and that was Ted Koop. But we did say that the first guest back in November 7th, 1954, was somewhat infamous. And you can't get more infamous than Joseph McCarthy, the senior senator from the state of Wisconsin. Ted Koop, the first host, Joseph McCarthy, the first guest, on the first episode of Face the Nation on CBS, November 7th, 1954. And that's the answer to our class survey question last week. Now let's go on to our question this week. And again, if you're first with the correct answer, you win In the Womb from National Geographic. Next January, Frontline marks 35 years on public television. It is the longest-running documentary series in the history of the medium, with more than 500 episodes, marvelous television on all sorts of topics, and it also has, I think, one of the best themes in all of television, composed by Mason Daring and Martin Brody. Here's our question. When Frontline premiered in 1983, January of that year, it had a host. Name that host. Name the first host of Frontline. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. That's simonapple04 Yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your full mailing address. And once again, if you are the first correct answer, you get National Geographic In the World DVD with some bonus features, including a prenatal development timeline. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you just missed the question, just tune in. Don't worry, I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page, as well as on Twitter. My handle, @UBCSimonTWBT. That's @UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in, and all the very best. So that will do it for today's episode of Tomorrow We Televised. Remember, coming on our show on Friday, we will have the executive producer of National Geographic Channel's new hybrid scripted and unscripted series called Year Million, premieres 1 week from today. And Matt Renner, the executive producer, will be our guest. And we'll tell you what will be on as the week unfolds. So check out my material on Facebook and Twitter, and you will know. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, our podcast is available 24/7 at iTunes.com and through Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today? And what he's up to with Home and Garden Television, DIY, and Great American Country. And, of course, what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Let's hear from you about our lead news note, the Sinclair situation of iTribute Media and its major stations in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. So we'd love to hear from you. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Again, that's how you get involved in our Cubs trivia question each week for prizes. And that's how you also get involved in a feature we do regularly called The Show to Know. If there's a TV show you like that you feel doesn't get enough attention anywhere in your area or around the country, we want to know. So let me know by email. If we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Check out MediaGoes.com for my columns about the world of television. And check me out also Monday afternoons in the New York area on BK Live, now the Emmy Award-winning program all about Brooklyn and beyond. I'm happy to say that yesterday, BK Live won its first Emmy Award for a segment about Seagate. So congratulations to Brick TV and all the gang at BK Live for making it happen. Last year, lots of nominations, no Emmy Award. This year, one Emmy Award, plus a second Emmy Award to Brick TV's supplemental service, Brooklyn Free Speech. So congratulations, and by the way, congratulations to all the winners and all the nominations of local Emmy Awards that took place yesterday, I believe, at the Marriott Marquis. So once again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Why? Because we love hearing from you, because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and week. We are back on Friday with Matt Renner from Year Million from National Geographic. That's tomorrow, on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Of course, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Remember, be safe and be great whatever you're up to today and the rest of the week. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.